Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is Week 5, Day 1. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 9, 1 through 12. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 5. The 10-Week Bible Podcast is produced to be a companion to the 10-Week Bible Study, an ever-growing series of books in print and for Kindle available at Amazon.com. One of the foundational premises of the 10-week Bible study is to read the book of the Bible being studied once a week, and that in this case is John. Read it once a week for 10 weeks. The repetition will cause spontaneous meditation, which causes us to think about God and His Word day and night. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits of repetition. Let's pray before we get started today. Lord, I ask that You would open our eyes in our ears to hear what Your Word has to say to us today. In Your name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into John. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is John 9, 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." So this right here is, a very interesting passage to jump off in right here and talk about what's going on here. Is they're walking along, the disciples and Jesus, and they see this man. Obviously, they've probably seen this man before. They may even know a little bit about him, that he was blind from birth. Somehow, John is telling us they already know that he's blind from birth, so that when they run across him, they're asking Jesus this question. And it's a theological question that's very interesting and very insightful into the mindset of these Jews from 2,000 years ago and how they thought about things. And it's not so different from today is they're thinking, wondering, why is this guy blind? I mean, someone must have had to have screwed up for this guy to be blind. And so they ask Jesus, was it him or his parents? Who was it that was a horrible, wretched sinner that this poor man was born blind? And one thing that we don't want to gloss over here, well, we don't want to add to the story, and I've heard it added many times. We don't want to add things to Scripture that aren't there, but I've heard this added many times, is that Jesus told them they were wrong, or that told his disciples that they were wrong. That's not how it works. Jesus never says that here. He never rebukes them saying that you don't understand how God works, or it's not we don't get sick from sin or anything like that. He does not say that. So we can't infer one way or another that, sin causes sickness or that it doesn't. We can't infer one way or another from this passage. Now, from other passages in Scripture, we can understand those things more clearly. But from this passage in particular, we can't infer any theological premise or argument based on that. All we can know is that Jesus is telling them neither. It wasn't him or his parents. And then he tells him, straight up, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. This boy, or this man, young man, was born blind so that in this moment, in this hour, God could be glorified. So let's move on here. Verse 6, it says, after saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. His neighbors, let's stop right there, actually. So I find this very interesting that John points out that the name Siloam means sent. There's obviously some significance to this for John to have pointed this out, is that Jesus is sending him there. He's sending him away. And one thing to note about this is this boy was born blind. He's never seen anything. So he's not seen Jesus. He doesn't know what Jesus looks like. He only, Jesus puts mud in his eyes and then sends him away. So he knows Jesus' voice, but he's never seen him. So that's one interesting thing to note as we go through this story as it unfolds over the next few days. But he tells him to go and wash. And it's interesting, you know, Jesus could have healed this guy in any number of ways. The fact that he chose to spit on the ground to make mud is just so interesting. And it's very interesting, you know, given what's going to happen. I mean, you know, if you've already read through this, and I encourage you, be reading through the book of John every week. Read the whole book once a week, and you just get it in you. You kind of know, you know where these stories are going, you know where they've been, and it gives you context. It just kind of helps you glue the whole book of John and glues the whole story together. And so we know that, you know, what's going on here is, again, just like the lame man that was healed, this is all being done on a Sabbath. Jesus is doing this on a Sabbath specifically to kind of poke at the sensibilities of the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews. But he tells him, he makes the mud, which is one knock against him. Then he tells the guy to go wash, which is another knock against him as far as doing quote-unquote work on the Sabbath. But, you know, Jesus could have healed the guy any way he wanted to. He could have spoken. We've already seen that he's spoken and a dying boy was healed. So Jesus could accomplish this any way he wants. He's done this on purpose. And so this word Siloam, John pointing out that it means sent, this is important to the passage here, is that Jesus is sending this man out to go and wash. And it's going to have dramatic consequences, ramifications, good and bad. And we'll see that in the days as this unfolds. So I'm going to get back to verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. So we finish right there, and, you know, he doesn't know what Jesus looks like. He doesn't even know where Jesus is now. We don't know if someone led the man by the hand, or if he maybe could possibly see enough to get around, or if he had learned to use a cane, or we don't know how he got to Siloam. I mean, it's kind of funny if you think about it, that Jesus takes a blind man and he makes him blinder. If he could see anything at all, he now has mud in his eyes. And Jesus says, "All right, now go to Siloam and wash." You know, it's kind of a funny thing for him to tell a blind man, "Okay, now you go on and wash your eyes." I just find that kind of funny. But it's interesting to me, why did Jesus need the mud? Coming back to this, it's so interesting to me. And the only thing I can think of is that this is hearkening back to Naaman's healing. In the Old Testament, we know that Naaman, one of the principal generals of Syria, had come down to Israel and visited the prophet. And the prophet told him, I believe it was Elisha, told him to go and wash in the Jordan River. And the Jordan River is kind of a small, insignificant little muddy river at times. You know, the guy Naaman's thinking, you know, aren't there so many better rivers in Assyria? Why did I have to come here? But he doesn't. And there's this activity that's involved that leads to faith, and or at least that displays faith. And Naaman does it and he's healed. And this guy goes and washes in this pool and he's healed. And there's some kind of activity tied to faith. Faith is not something that exists in a vacuum of your mind, but it is actually something that's walked out in some way or another. And here we see that Jesus is sending him to this pool called Sent to wash his eyes. This is requiring faith on the part of this man going and doing this. I want to point out that this healing, and we're going to be talking about this over the next few days, this healing sticks out in the book of John. It's almost, we're getting to the midpoint of John where things are going to begin to change. The kind of the flow of the book will change. And this miracle alone sticks out as other than everything else in the book. It's kind of the linchpin. It's the key to the book of John, I believe. It's the longest single story in the book of John, and I think it's very important to understanding what John is trying to illustrate about Jesus and his life. The main thing from this story that I think can be very difficult to wrestle with is going back to the initial question, who sinned? This guy or his parents, and Jesus says, neither. And what it leaves us with is it leaves us with wrestling with, okay, wait a second. So now you're telling us, Jesus, it wasn't his sin or his parents' sin. It wasn't anyone's sin. It was the will of God that he be blind until this moment. Like this guy from birth, as a little child all the way up, he was chosen by God to be blind. He had to suffer through being blind all of his childhood, all of his youth, all of his formative years until this point, because God had chosen him to display his glory and in this moment. And so it really, we have to take a step back and evaluate what is it that we know about God? What is it we think about God? Because if this is going to sound cruel to you, this can lead you to believing something inappropriate about God, that he's not good. But if we come from a perspective that we believe that God is good, we know that God is good, then it'll cause us to interpret and understand this in light of God's goodness, not questioning God's goodness. So God's goodness is on display here. God is showing his goodness here. And I think it's very important to point this out, because I've known people that these kinds of things in scripture and in real life, I mean, we see these things all the time. We want answers. We want to know, well, why is this person sick? Or why did that person die? And we have to reevaluate our perspective. Is there is an eternity to be had and to be gained? Our life, like David says in the Psalms, is but grass. We're here today, we're cut, and we're thrown in the fire, and we wither. Our lives are short. Eternity is very long. We have to understand God's perspective to understand God's goodness. And so, as Paul said, he considers this life a momentary light affliction. And this young man here has experienced a momentary light affliction, but has also experienced a greater glory of God than most people get to experience in this life. And so I think there's this dramatic difference in our thought process and what's going on here in this situation. And again, as I've pointed out many times, John is trying to strike at the root of what we believe about God and getting us to evaluate that and ask ourselves, is what we believe about God something that we have created or something that we have learned from him? And I challenge you, and I'm going to end on this. I challenge you, if you're offended by this, and it's totally okay to be offended by this, because this is somewhat offensive to, I believe, most American and Western minds, let that challenge you to reevaluate what you think about God and go to God himself and ask him to show you his goodness, to show you his glory in a new way so that you can know God as he is and not persist in a God of your own creation. Like I've said all throughout this podcast, John wants to strike at the root of our inappropriate beliefs about God and replace them with the right belief about God. He wants us to believe in a God who exists, not the God of our own making. So with that, that's a wrap for today. I appreciate you listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. That helps other people find out about the show. And I'd love to hear from you on my Facebook page. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back next time with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.